Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Malloy Program. Thanks for tuning in. What a day today. Oh my God, what a day today. I don't think I've ever seen more idiocy and ridiculousness and humor assembled in one place ever, except maybe inside a big top circus tent. just incredible. We have some sound for you tonight. These massive rallies that were held across the country, 300 or 200 in Tampa, 3,000 in Texas, 150 in Des Moines, 30 in, I mean, just, but the sad part is, of course, all the media attention. This is like when you have a 4-year-old, trust me on this, and the 4-year-old starts throwing a tantrum. You have two choices. You can put her in timeout for a while, or you can just ignore it. If you put her in timeout, which occasionally we have to do, of course, that gives the little darling grounds for resentment. If you ignore it, amazingly, it just disappears because all of a sudden the 4-year-old realizes, nobody cares. Well, that's kind of the way I felt today. I flipped around through the channels from Fox News to Fox News to Fox News to Fox News because I really couldn't find it anywhere else. There were a couple of moments on CNN, a couple on MSNBC. MSNBC seemed to take the attitude of just mocking the hell out of it, which I think was a great attitude. CNN tried to report it as a news story. Fox News, oh, how to describe what happened to Fox News today? Jesus, God. it was just astonishing. You know, at one point today, I got all depressed. I started thinking, you know, everything really is upside down and backwards. And granted, a lot of things are right now, thanks to 25 years of Republican rule. But when you take a different look, so we're in deep economic trouble right now, and it will probably get worse before it gets better. But eventually, we'll pull out of it because eventually, I think the power in this country, however that's divided now among corporations and government and civic organizations and unions and management, power will finally come to the realization that we've got to resolve this one way or the other. Now, if it goes the wrong way, I think decent Americans, not these mumbly pegs that were out in the streets today, but real Americans will exert some pressure on their elected officials. And if those elected officials don't respond, they'll put in new elected officials to bring some of this madness to an end. So looking at it from that point of view, it's a goddamn circus is what it is. It's a dog show. I mean, these people that I guess work is the word at Fox News and the people out on the street who responded to this madness today, it had to be comedy. I saw so many interviews with old people who are getting Social Security and Medicare. I saw people who obviously were getting SSI. They had to have been sitting there talking about how the taxes are too high. And every time somebody tried to point out, a reporter tried to say, look, are you in the top 3% of wage earners or 4% of wage earners in this country? No, I'm not working. Oh, okay. Well, do you understand your taxes have been cut? That you're going to, hey, he's a socialist. He wants the queers to marry. I mean, just on and on and on today. To our international listeners, you know, all I can say is these people don't represent this country. I realize that the United States of America right now appears to be in its death throes, but it's not. It really isn't. We will get through this. And the idiots and the cheeseheads and the jerkballs will cheeseheads. I don't mean the people that support the Green Bay Packers. Whoops. I just mean people whose brains are made out of cheese. You know, they will be pushed back into their rat holes and crannies and so on and so forth eventually. They don't represent America. They never have and they never will. We've had moments of weakness in this country where some of these bastards like Timothy McVeigh have risen up and, you know, blown up and murdered 168 people. But most of the time, the McVeigh types are the ones that we saw on television today, with one exception. They're cowards. Not that McVeigh was brave. He was a coward, too. That's why he attacked a building rather than, you know, standing out in front of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, with an AK-47 and saying to the people inside Fort Bragg, come on out, you sons of bitches, I want to fight. No, you know, the right-wingers never do that. They are cowardly down to the soles of their stupid-ass feet. So to the people who listen to this program, and we do, we keep track through Google. What's it called, Kathy? Google, what's the thing where we know where people are logging on to the, you don't remember what it is? And I think we have listeners in about 90 countries. All I can say is, first of all, I apologize for any thoughts. I apologize as an American for any thoughts that you might have that this is what we've allowed our country to become. And I realize that's easy to think about because we are a torture nation. We did some horrible things over the past 8 years, horrible things. We have drained the world economy. The thieves and liars and sons of bitches that comprise our business and banking community on so-called Wall Street, every one of them should be jailed. And I realize in your countries they would have been. So it looks pretty grim. But what happened today, I mean, that stuff is real. And we are trying our damnedest to work through it one way or the other. I think Obama administration will eventually realize that capitalism this time is not going to be saved and we're going to have a mixed economy. But that's a different topic. The clowns that you saw on television today around the globe, these brain dead, easily manipulable idiots do not represent America. They represent a very small fringe group of, granted, psychopaths and potential killers, but they don't represent the United States. Even the old ladies and the old men who were carrying pictures of Obama and making him look like Mao Zedong or, oh my God, even they, yes, they're capable of blowing up their rest homes or burning their SS checks in protests, but they won't. They're there because they're bored. We don't take care of our old people in this country the way we should. And a lot of old folks showed up because they're bored. Fox News is on all the time in their rest homes, and so they went out. But if you look at the videos that you saw today, no, they weren't all old people. I'm just saying that, you know, that particular group, if ever a group relied on a steady source of tax revenue, it would be them. So you can see how crazy it is. But the other people, the fat, nasty-looking people, the not-fat, nasty-looking people, the people with the signs, they don't represent America. A lot of us are overweight. So what? You know, I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that you know that they are obese because they have been drinking other people's blood. They're vampires, and we do have that in this country. So to the listeners in Argentina and Greece and Australia and the UK and Poland and Canada, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. Those people don't represent this country. They just don't. Now, when we come back, we're going to let you hear some of this. Oh, it's just, oh, my God. Oh, by the way, we have a new Malloy's Uncensored mailbag that is up at the site right now, so you can go see how some of the teabaggers write to Kathy and me, write their emails. So go check that out. And also tonight, another episode of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American man. Diamonds and dogs, boys and girls.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Oh, my God. What a freak show today. Email here from Sirius. I wish you people would put names on. Regarding today's teabaggers, my emailer writes, I did not see one single solitary person of color. I wonder why. I guess Whitey has gone wacko. Yeah, Whitey may have. Whitey may have gone wacko. You ever notice it's only white people who commit mass murder in this country?
The part that was really scary to me about Fox.
Oh, wait a minute. The guy at Virginia Tech, I know. All right, go ahead.
The part that was really scary for me at Fox was I watched it for a little while today, and they had that split screen thing going.
Yeah.
You would have thought it was like the moon landing or the second coming or something. They had cameras all over America, little tiny, and they'd flip to this one and flip to that one, and they kept them up the whole day.
Yeah.
In the little windows on the main
screen.
Well,
it's a grassroots movement, and Fox has nothing to do with it except reporting on it, right? Paul in Burn Hills, New York writes, Mike, think back to another time of optimism. In 1963, JFK proposed, without the science to back it up, that we would put a man on the moon before the end of the decade. We did it. We did it through sheer can-do attitude. As stated in the movie Apollo 13 by Tom Hanks, quote, it's not a miracle. We just decided to go, end quote. Now, imagine where we would be as a nation if that attitude prevailed today. Cure for cancer, electric cars in every garage, high-speed rail across the country, middle-class average income in the six figures, and peace on earth, etc., etc., etc. What has stood in the way of the continued progress? Republicans. And only Republicans. How sad it is we have people in the United States that continue to vote for these bastards. How stupid a nation are we? I watched via the internet today the so-called Tea Parties that took place. As you and I know, these people at the Tea Parties are those ignorant U.S. citizens that watch Fox News. No one else would bother to attend. How sad. Paul in Burnt Hills, New York. Yeah, there was a certain type at these events. It was. You can describe the type. And General Beck, General Glenn Beck, is promoting something that is starting to get out of hand, and there are going to be some consequences. Governor Rick Goodhair Perry down in Texas has picked up on it now, and Governor Rick Goodhair Perry is talking about secession. We'll have that for you in a second in his own words. A story from KREM Television. About a teabagger state senator in eastern Washington state. This guy is Bob McCaslin from Spokane Valley. He has proposed changing the name of this country to the United Socialist States of America. And these people get elected. These people get elected to state legislatures. McCaslin is a Republican, there's a surprise, from Spokane Valley. He said the country is in a, quote, not-so-slow creep towards socialism, end quote. given the number of bailouts and government takeovers of private industries. Actually, you dumb bastard, there has been... Oh, never mind. Why bother? In a press release, Mr. McCaslin said, quote, our country is seeing some fundamental changes and its name should reflect those truths, end quote. McCaslin added, quote, obviously I'm trying to make a point about where I think we are going as a country, end quote. Well, obviously you're making yourself look like a dumb bastard. We are nowhere near. Don't you understand, you idiot? You moron, that Barack Obama is trying to rescue capitalism. He's trying to do the same thing that FDR did, trying to rescue capitalism, you stupid hayseed. We don't have time for Perry right now, but apparently Governor Perry of Texas thinks he can do and say whatever he wants. Kurt in Portland, Oregon says, sounds like Bush talk to me. Let's see if anyone in the radio and or TV media picks up on this. As Bugs Bunny would say, what a maroon. And it's out there on YouTube. Can we run it now? Do we have time to run it now? Huh? No? Okay. Anyway, the governor of Texas joined one of those stupid little tea parties today, the madness. He appeared at a protest and hinted that Texas might secede from the union if... Oh, I don't know. I guess if Obama keeps his promise to cut taxes, that would make him go away. You know, it is madness. It really is. Texas stands to gain billions from this bailout program, millions in tax rebates for its citizens. And somehow these morons are protesting that. Why don't you filthy son of a bitch, why don't you protest the torture down at Guantanamo? Why don't you protest Republican foreign policy for the past 8 years? Why don't you protest the fact that your state, Governor Perry, has one of the lowest rates of high school graduation in the union, one of the highest rates of childhood tuberculosis, one of the highest rates of childhood measles? Why don't you protest something, you slick-haired son of a bitch, that makes sense? Oh, wait a minute. What am I saying? You're a Republican.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it sure is. 26 before the hour. So Governor Rick Goodhair Perry at a Tea Party protest today. Where would he have been? In Austin? I'm surprised that Students University of Texas didn't drag him into the crowd and take his pants off and make him run naked, half naked, through the student body. But anyway, so here's the freaking governor of Texas joining the Tea Party madness and hinting that Texas might secede from the union if Obama keeps his promise to cut taxes. And again, Texas stands to gain billions from the stimulus plan, millions in tax rebates for its citizens, and they're protesting it, which could only mean two things. Either A, they're insane, the people protesting, which I think you could make a strong argument for that, or B, they are so empty-headed that anything that the right-wing talkers tell them to do, they'll do. If the right-wing talkers on radio said, I want you to put your feet in your mouth and start swallowing yourself, these dumb bastards would try it. They would, you know, what a lovely idea. But Perry sounds like a man dying of thirst and saying, no, I don't want your damn water. So Perry explains to a reporter why he legitimized this madness in his state with his appearance. And then he answers a question apparently about the recent Department of Homeland Security report that detailed the violent threat posed by right-wing extremist groups, like the people protested there, I guess. Perry called the author of that report a numbskull. Well, Gov, it was authorized. You think, you dumb son of a bitch, the report was authorized by Bush. Oh, okay. Well, you know, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. The only thing you said today that made any sense is that the author of the report is a numbskull. You're right. Not the author, but the person who authorized it. Now, that's from a man standing in front of a crowd of neocon fanatics waving tea bags. And who seriously offers the secession of Texas as a viable option. But the Department of Homeland Security author is a numbskull. Gotcha.
My hope is that America, and Washington in particular, pays attention. We got a great union. There's absolutely no reason to dissolve it. But if Washington continues to thumb their nose at the American people, you know, who knows what may come out of that. So, Texas is a very unique place. And we're a pretty independent lot to boot.
Now that you've pledged your allegiance with the radicalized right-wing extremists, I'm just wondering if you think that we might now be considered an actual terror state.
I don't believe we quite get into that category. I have no idea who that numbskull was that wrote that, but I would suggest to you that you probably can't find them in the Homeland Security Department today. They're probably in deep hiding.
Did you hear in the background where they do the Sieg Heil chant? A good question from the reporter, since this jackass and Colonel Beck and the Karate Kid are suggesting that Texas secede. They've already seceded once. No, not from the United States, from Mexico. They've already seceded once, so are they suggesting another secession? Isn't that an act of terror as written out by George W. Bush? Well, the Bush crime family. Not that I want to legitimize anything Bush ever did, but by definition, Rick Perry now is a terrorist. I say send in the U.S. Marshals, arrest the son of a bitch for acts of sedition against the United States and send him to Guantanamo. Eh? 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 And by the way, when this dork choke saying that Texas can leave the Union if it wants to, Texas came into the Union with the option of dividing into five states because it's so big. But there's nothing in there, regardless of what Perry said about withdrawing. You can't do that. Now, somebody sent me this. After seceding during the Civil War, Texas was allowed to re-enter the Union. Yeah, they declared themselves, independent during the Civil War. Was that it? While the rest of the country was busy killing each other, the numbskulls in Texas, we're going to secede from the Union. And then they re-entered the Union. How many times are they going to do this? They re-entered the Union after ratifying the 13th Amendment that bans slavery in the United States and any territories subject to its jurisdiction. So they secede from Mexico. They seceded from the United States. Well, not really, but you know. And now Perry is... Now you know why Sarah Palin talked about the Alaskan Independence Party. You know, she endorsed Goodhair Perry over Kay Bailey Hutchinson in the Republican governor's primary. And that, I don't know. I think it is probably time to break the country into three or four pieces. Move all the idiots into one area. It'd be a lot easier to control them, wouldn't it? Oh my God. Bob in Kentucky writes, great. Let the, blankers secede. Probably a lot of benefits to it happening. The collective IQ of the country would go up a few points. Chuck Norris could become president of Texas. Gotta be tons of comedy in that. My only hope is if they do it, the state gets hit by a giant hurricane. and their only hope is government assistance. Sorry, boys, you're on your own. Bob in Kentucky. And then Darby writes, Mike, let me tell you, as a native Texan who has not stepped foot in my state for several years because of the lunatic fringe that took over, how sad the politicians there make me. I shudder to think what Ann Richards would say now if she saw what has become of our beloved state. I don't know if you know it, but Rove's tactics were used to destroy Governor Richards so Bush could take over the state. Bush left Perry at the helm, and he will be there indefinitely, as Texas has no term limit for governor. Please have compassion for the citizens of Texas. Many fine progressives call this state or have called it their home, such as Molly Ivins and Bill Moyers. Pray for Texans. Well, Jim Hightower is from there, too, right? Right, Darby? Yeah, a lot of progressives have come out of Texas. And God knows, I'm certainly not. I feel sorry for those people tonight. I really do. With not a hint of arrogance in that either. I just feel sorry for them. At least here in Georgia, we don't have, you know, Georgia is just known for its slavery and its lynching. We don't have any craziness like, other than that, like Texas or Florida or Mississippi. We've had some lynchings down here and we certainly resisted, integration of the schools and Public Accommodations Act and so on and so forth over the years. But Georgia is just kind of bland. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think of Georgia real quick. What do you think of? That's right. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, okay. Peaches. and even that's a fraud and a sham. Here in Atlanta, there are about 110 streets named Peachtree Street. Here's the joke. That's a corruption of, there are no peach trees in the Atlanta area. There are what used to be called pitch trees, as in pine pitch. So the crackers that took over this state all those years ago said, "Hot damn, look, there's a pitch tree." When what they meant was, there's a pine tree. There's a pitch tree. Quick, put a hammer, hammer something in it. Let's get the pitch. Hence the name. Pitch tree. And it didn't take very long for the modern crackers to go, yup, we got peach tree. No, it was pitch tree. Oh, never mind. Jesus, God. Now, regarding all this tax stuff, a recent Gallup poll found that 61% of Americans felt that the federal income tax they have to pay this year is fair. No, really? You're kidding. When asked about the specific amount of federal income taxes they pay, just over half felt they pay the right amount or too little. 48% of the respondents thought that the amount of federal income tax they pay is about right. That's the highest percentage of people who responded that way since 1956. Another 3% on top of the 48 thought they paid too little. So the apology offered to the rest of the world who listens to this program online, you've got to understand what you saw on your television sets today around the globe does not represent sane America. There are still, the majority of the people in this country are still sane. We really are. We really, truly are sane. I'm not saying some of our leaders are, but the majority of people are sane. The people you saw today are the ones who should be heavily medicated. If we had single payer health care here where everybody like that could afford medication, then you wouldn't see this kind of insanity because they would stay home and watch Fox News and, you know, get a little porn on the internet and do whatever they do. But they wouldn't be out saying, I don't want any money. Anyways, won't you let me help you, mister? Just pull your hat down the way I do and buy your pants just a little longer. And next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, won't you get
anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. Hey.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. So, the according to Citizens for Tax Justice, recent Gallup poll found that 61% of respondents felt that the federal income tax they will have to pay this year is fair. Blah, 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 blah. Fewer than half polled. 46% said they thought their federal income taxes are too high. It appears, however, that some of those respondents are basing their answers on the right-wing anti-tax propaganda they've heard rather than their own income tax liability. How so? Well, 39% of the respondents with incomes below 30 grand said that they thought the federal income taxes they pay are too high. That's remarkable because only 32% of taxpayers in this income group will pay any federal income tax at all on their 2008 income. So you see how this works as you watch some of the video today and notice this clutch of Morans that are out there with their signs. And if you notice, a very large percentage were saying ugly things about Obama. They were saying ugly things about gay people. They were saying ugly things about a woman's right to privacy. It had absolutely nothing to do with protesting high taxes. The only people in this country who should be protesting high taxes are the ultra rich. And the only reason they should is because they're a bunch of spoiled sons of bitches whose effective tax rate, if they're slick, it's probably only 18 or 19%. But this is madness. This is what it's like when somebody tosses a grenade at the locked gate of a mental institution and the gate blows open and all of these people come running out. No, if you're a mental health worker, I'm sorry. That's what they're acting like. They're acting like delusional, schizophrenic paranoids who are off their medications. That's all. And they're being prodded and pushed into doing this by the same types, like Nurse Ratched types who are saying to the people, you will take your medication when I tell you to. Right now, you will go riot. Jesus. Going back to this Gallup thing, taxpayers with adjusted gross incomes below 30,000 represent almost half, 46%, of the total number of taxpayers for tax year 2008. Do you understand that? People with adjusted gross incomes below 30 grand represent about half of the total number of taxpayers for 2008. And 32% of them will pay no income tax at all. So as Citizens for Tax Justice points out, with a small amount of public education about the tax system, displeasure with the federal income tax among this part of the population could drop significantly. That's right. If they understood how they are being mentally and emotionally raped by these people riding their backs, like Colonel Beck and the Pig Man and Baby Jesus, Sean Hannity. I mean, if they could just understand, if somebody would go out and educate the American public, mainstream media refuses to. The Republican Party is a bunch of goddamn idiots that are about to disappear. The Democrats are too cowardly to stand up and say, look, you people are being lied to. Here's the truth. So what do we have? This huge chunk of the population that's wandering around, bumping into stuff, unable to find its ass with both hands, not knowing which way is up, and being fed a steady diet of right-wing propaganda 24/7, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. This is what happens. This is what right-wing talk radio has done. Are you happy with how you've had your brains scrambled, you dumbasses? Are you? Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, there's a lot of things that we could do to fix the progressive tax system. Make sure that corporations can't escape. Tax the rich at almost confiscatory rates because they deserve to be. You know, if somebody has a $20 million a year income, tax them at 80%. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That still leaves them $4 million. You couldn't spend $4 million if you're sane. If you tried in a year, I mean, come on, stop. But if the system were simplified a little bit, and Obama is talking about doing this, if people could understand, that the federal income tax doesn't pose a crushing burden for working class families as these, crazy people like Colonel Beck, are telling Americans, then I think some of this, disjointed radicalism would disappear if they could operate with the truth. That's all. Just the truth. But then again, maybe not. Because sure as hell, if they were told the truth, their preachers would tell them, no, that's just them queers and them people that want to have abortions lying to you. That's all that is. Oh, my God. Well, if you live outside this country again, and you watch some of this on television today, you have got to appreciate the geek and freak value of it. It's, there is a strong element in this country that is patently and clinically insane, and you got to see them cavorting on this beautiful spring day in the United States today. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. Don't forget, Mike Malloy Gumshoe coming up in about half an hour. And the new Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag is up. If you are a subscriber, go check it out. And this one's a doozy. They even mention you, right, Kathy? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, I need a drink. Well, a little bit later in the program, maybe, huh? Hey, welcome back. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for hanging around. We still have an awful lot of stuff to bring to you on tonight's program, so stick around. Coming up in about half an hour, the second episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. So you wanna hear that. For the time being, they're just part of the broadcast. Eventually they're gonna be tucked away where it'll be a subscriber access kind of thing. But for now, and you know, for the foreseeable future, they're out there for you to hear. Now the as Kathy mentioned earlier, this Tea Party madness was in full swing today at the Chief Propaganda Network. That would be Fox, who covered today's protests as if they were covering, landing on some foreign body outside the solar system. They had webcams and split screens and showing protests. If a visitor from a distant country tuned into Fox today, they think these protests were the most important news event of the 20th century. Funny, you never saw Iraq war protests covered on Fox. Oh, never mind. Now, I want you to listen here as Fox Business News anchor Cody Willard, reporting on the scene at a Boston protest, calls the government fascist. He works for Fox Business News Channel. Talk about fair and balance. No wonder the wingnuts are taking up arms and shooting up churches and schools and children.
The people here are out here upset, angry, fighting the Republicans, the Democrats. You got to love this one right here. I'm only 11 and deep in debt. She had to pay for the $160 billion Republican stimulus package that came out in 2007. Now she's paying for the $800 billion Republican Democrat fascist stimulus package that's coming out this time. Guys, when are we going to wake up and start fighting the fascism that seems to be permeating this country? Fascism, the definition of it is big business and government getting in bed together.
Well, let's start by eliminating Fox News, you dumb little twit. How about that? We can get rid of you, huh? Then CNN anchor Kira Phillips tossed it to reporter Susan Rosgen, is that how you pronounce it, at a Chicago Tea Party today. That's the one where this insane man-cow radio talk show freak, I guess he was one of the agitators up on stage. But listen to the insanity in this ugly crowd. One of the protesters held a sign showing Obama dressed as Hitler with the title, you know, it's a picture of Hitler, and underneath it said Barack Hussein Obama. Another protester carried his 2-year-old who was wearing a sign that said, "I'm already in debt." Is that what we just heard? No, that was something different. And he actually started touching her aggressively while still holding the little girl, touching the reporter. And that's when the interview ended as a cameraman moved in to protect Susan.
Kara, this is a party for Obama bashers. I have to say that this is not entirely representative of everybody in America. This was organized by three different conservative groups. And if you look at some of the signs, Kara, let me introduce you to this guy. Would you come over here with me, please? You know, what is this supposed to mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he's a fascist. The pirates...
Wait, why do you say he's pirates? A fascist? He's the president of the United States.
He's a fascist.
Do you realize how offensive that is?
I think he's a fascist.
Why?
Because he is.
Oh, my God.
In what way can you say that?
Because the real pirates are in the White House, in the Senate, and in the Congress. We need one-term limits for all these elected politicians.
Why be so hard on the President of the United States, though, with such an offensive message?
Because he is. He's a fascist.
Okay, let's see. You're here with your 2-year-old, and you're already in debt. Why are you here today, sir?
Because I hear a president say that he believed in what Lincoln stood for. Lincoln's primary thing was he believed that people had the right to liberty. And they had to run.
Sir, what does this have to do with taxes? What does this have to do with your taxes? Do you realize that you're eligible for a $400 credit?
Let me finish my point. Lincoln believed that people had the right to share in the fruits of their own labor and that government should not take it. And we have clearly gotten to that point.
Did you know that the state of Lincoln gets $50 billion out of these stimulus? That's $50 billion for this state, sir.
Ma'am, can you stop this, sir? Hold on.
Okay, well, Kara, we'll move on over here. I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, anti-CNN, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network Fox. And since I can't really hear much more, and I think this is not really family viewing, toss it back to you, Kira.
Yeah, and you know, if you saw that, they were giving her the finger. You got to admire this, the Susan, this reporter for CNN. I mean, you talk about some intestinal fortitude to walk into this crowd of morons like this. Oh my God! But that gives you a good example. And again, for our international audience, what you're hearing and what you saw on television today, that is not yet. The United States. We have an awful lot of insane people. For the past eight past 24 years. I grant you that. We have done some horrible things. Our leaders have, and pulled the rest of the other 250 to 300 million of us into it. But I hope that, well, nah, I can't even say it. You know, what the rest of the world is seeing is pretty much, who we are. Not all of us, but it's kind of pointless for me to try to explain all this to people who don't live here. It's pointless. And I understand that. So, Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, writes, were Texas to secede with a heavily federally subsidized budget of $35 billion for a population of 25 million, they'd be a third world country in a year or two. Think Iraq. What Governor Goodhair Perry forgets is that all those tanks and missiles and troops and fighter jets are the property of the federal government. And they'd be gone in an instant were Texas to decide to crap out, and so would the federal monies going to them and their personnel, along with all those other federal subsidies to their budget, like border control and Medicaid and school lunch programs. Texas would very quickly become a nation of paupers ruled by an oligarchy of billionaires who would exploit the people more ruthlessly than Pinochet did the people of Chile. It would become the newest feudal society in the world. The wealthy in Texas very nearly have accomplished that as it is. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah, and the weaponry that Michael's referring to are all the military bases. I mean, Fort Hood, isn't Fort Hood, Texas, the largest military base in the history of the human race? What does a dumb son of a bitch think? Rick Perry, what does he think? Where does the money for that come from? Well, Mina writes, there were 10 of us, around 100 of the teabaggers. I asked some where they were when for the last 6 years we've been on the street protesting the war, and she accused me of being a streetwalker. Another told my husband where the unemployment office is. My husband retired after 23 years of being an agent for Northwest Airlines. Another young, a heavyset man with a small child told us to go to hell. So my husband yelled, he told me to go to hell. Another man held a sign that said right-wing extremist with an arrow pointing to himself. Another woman called us acorn nuts. We had the cutest dog there, and one of us was interviewed by the local paper and three of us by a TV station. My sign said, Second Great Republican Depression. And my husband said, Tax the rich. Mina. That's a good way to, you wade into, well, you know, you got to admire Mina's courage too, right? All right, we got some more. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. This is from Lou Teabag Day in the Republican Bandwagon is the subject line. Hello, Mike, first-time sender. Enjoy your show. You put into words the same disgust that I feel toward anything Republican, especially the Bush crime family, when words fail me, because of my utter astonishment and frustration that this country allowed these 8 years of darkness. Obama didn't create this financial mess, and he's doing what he thinks is best. I haven't heard a damn suggestion from the right in correcting our problem, other than giving more tax breaks to the wealthiest 1%. My God, haven't people learned from the past that Bush giving his cronies all these tax breaks just created more billionaires and gave them a license to steal, which helped put us in this hole? And now they think they found an opening with this Tea Party crap? They're desperate to bring Obama down with anything, even at the future demise of our country, proving once again they don't give a damn about our country. These plans will take time, but they will work. Yes, we will be in more debt, but I didn't hear anything from the right when Bush started putting us in debt with his misguided wars and the profiteering of billions from no-bid contracts from his thieving cronies. That's when people should have taken to the street. I'm so damn sick and tired of the self-righteous, hypocritical right. Lou. Yeah, you left out brain dead. I've never seen people so crushingly, breathtakingly stupid as these right-wingers. Never. I've never seen anything like it. Randy in Seoul, South Korea writes, Mike, listen to you before going to work. I have Fox on the television with the sound off. Are there any black people in Atlanta? He's watching the Atlanta rally. You wouldn't think so by observing the, quote, crowd, end quote, in Atlanta. Sean and his bestest new buddy, Joe the fake plumber, were swapping spit. Not there's anything wrong with that, but it made me queasy. Saw Confederate flags, references to King Obama, and socialism. These people are using this ruse of Tea Party to mask what is really going down, an angry reaction by white racists to the fact that a black man is the president. Because if they really were there about taxes, then they would be supporting Obama's tax plan and protesting against what happened to them over the last 8 years. God damn, I hate these people. Randy writes, by the way, I'm watching on the Armed Forces Network, which shows about 16 hours a day of Fox to our overseas service members. Now, how is that fair and balanced? Randy in Seoul, South Korea. This is from Elaine. Well, my landlord and my body talked me out of showing up at our local tea party today. According to him and the local news, which I rarely watch, but I made an exception tonight, over 150 local conservative nuts showed up today in a county of less than 700. The others must have gone to the three or four others scattered around this county. Well, the signs I told you about in the past emails, impeach Obama, Obama's the Antichrist, I'm armed and dangerous, etc., were nothing compared to the ones I saw today. Baby killer. He's got my president. He's not my president. He's not even a citizen of this country. Go back to Kenya. Vote for secession. Call your local rep and tell him to ask for the real birth certificate. Kenyan. Get the monkey boy out of our country. And more. Most of the attendees had these signs. And my little brother said this is all, quote, entertainment, end quote, and that there are very few people who are members of this fringe in this country. No, the second coming isn't for another 6 or so years. A wingnut website and video I saw yesterday said the rapture will be here in the next 2 or 3 years, so stay tuned. I guess my landlord and I will be the only two left in town. So much for these tea parties that have nothing to do with Obama personally. According to Glenn Beck, the nuttiest wingnut housed in the Fox Asylum, I guess I probably wouldn't have gotten many tea bags in my basket today, huh? Elaine. And then from Mayflower Mike. Hey, Mike, I noticed today that the tea baggers all were driving Cadillacs, BMWs, and Mercedes at the state capitol. That's in Arkansas. Looked very much like the sons and daughters of the group in 1956 at Central High. He's referring to Little Rock. You remember. I'm sure their sheets were in the trunk, all cut out with the eye holes and hoods. Same group, different time. Cowards. Mayflower Mike. And it goes on and on here. Jesus, it doesn't stop. I appreciate all the emails you've sent regarding what you saw today. All right, break here. When we come back, we're going to thrill you and chill you with the latest edition of Mike Malloy Gumshoe. Stick around. It's about 25 before the hour. Bob in Miami writes, Mike, I notice it's been two nights in a row now that you refer to right-wingers as not being able to find their asses with both hands. In the interest of being scrupulously accurate, they can't find their asses with both hands in a flashlight. A minor distinction? Perhaps. All right. do we have it ready? The latest edition, Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written by Bob Alexander and presented to you by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players.
It's time once again for Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. Tonight's episode, The Fatuous Gas Bag.
Hey, Truth Seekers. I had just finished the broadcast and was relaxing at my desk, feet up, shot of Jack Black handy, when somebody knocked at the studio door. Pretty late for visitors, so I checked to see if my .38 was loaded and opened the door. He just stood there, a cheap-suited gunzo holding out a piece of paper. He didn't say a word. What sort of bizarre mind game was he trying to pull with that silent act? And then it struck me, we don't have the budget to hire another actor. Of course he doesn't have any lines. I took the paper from him and quickly read the scrawled message. It was from the fat man. He wanted to meet. There was a phone number I was to call. I told the punk to beat it. Without any lines, he could only manage a sneer, and he left. I went to the window, through the Venetian blinds, saw him get into a black Hummer that sped off, listing pretty badly on the left. I thought Limbaugh must be doing his own driving these days. I called my contact down at the cop station and got the address that went with the phone number, a swanky hotel uptown. Limbaugh might want a meeting, but I prefer a surprise visit. I took a cab to the Biltmore and the elevator to the penthouse. I pushed the buzzer and was about to knock when she opened the door. I've seen her face and heard that voice on all the cable stations that pretend they have something to do with the news. And as long as Richard Mellon Scaife keeps buying her books by the ton, I guess she's the New York Times best-selling author. But I didn't expect to see Ann Coulter here.
Well, Mike Malloy, we meet again.
Just like in all your books, you got your facts wrong, and we've never met.
Stop talking over me, you godless commie, and come in already. There's someone here that wants to see you.
I walked in, and there on one of the biggest Lazy Boy recliners I've ever seen was the fat man himself. He was wearing the black suit he wore when he spoke at last February's CPAC conference. I don't think he changed out of it since, because there were food stains and crumbs all over it. He was holding a massive platter of chicken fingers and shoveling them into his mouth as fast as he could. His right sleeve was drenched in ranch dressing. Not a pretty sight.
We hear you're running low on funds these days, Malloy. Rush and I want to offer you a job.
Hey, in case you didn't notice, we work opposite sides of the street, sister. The cheap punk I'd seen earlier sidled up to Coulter like a Siamese cat.
That's what you say now, Malloy, but we thought you might change your mind when you see how much cash you could be raking in.
What's wrong with Limbaugh? Can he talk for himself?
Well, if you'll ever let me get a word in edgewise, I'll tell you. Oddly enough, after the conference, Rush lost the ability to use the English language. Now all he does is gargle and bark into his microphone 3 hours a day. Strangely, his fans seem to enjoy it.
What makes you think I'd spend my airtime reading Republican talking points?
We're not so different, you and I.
Yeah, sure. You're a carbon-based life form, and so am I, but sister, that's where the similarity ends. I get my support from the people. For only $59.40 a year, about 25 cents a show, Truth Seekers Nationwide are keeping me on the air.
The people. We're not supported by the people. We don't need the people. We've got corporations.
And I thought the people threw your guys out last November.
Stop your liberal whining. Elections don't mean anything anymore, Malloy. Or haven't you figured that out yet?
I was about to launch into a stirring description of grassroots democracy when the cheap gunsel snuck up behind and sapped me. A black hole opened in front of me. I dove in headfirst, wondering about Stephen Hawking's analysis of the naked singularity. But I had other things on my mind now. Like unconsciousness. I came to on the floor of my studio. Slowly I got to my feet, and there was the fat man in his mall.
Nice little setup you've got here, Malloy. Too bad if something were to happen to it.
Is that a threat, Coulter?
If you're not going to just shut up and take the cash, you don't leave us any option. I could just crinkle this piece of cellophane here next to the microphone and burn your whole operation down.
Drop the candy wrapper, sister, if you know it's good for you. Just then, Limbaugh reached for another candy bar. With both of them crumbling their wrappers, well, the sound effects would make this place go up in seconds. I grabbed his sleeve and yanked as hard as I could. The big black suit began to rip as Coulter screamed.
Rush! Oh, God! No! No! No!
Then I saw the most grotesque thing I've ever seen in my entire career. Rush's suit was the only thing keeping him in a vaguely human form. When the seams let go, Limbaugh spilled out onto the studio floor, a shapeless pool of protoplasmic goo. I called 911. The cops came and scooped Limbaugh up into a child's wading pool. A big one. Coulter was led away, sobbing. I guess she actually had feelings for the big lug. I didn't want to think about what kind of feelings. I was a little queasy myself at that point. They still broadcast Limbaugh's program. An engineer suspends a microphone above the wading pool to catch every belch and gurgle. And if you believe Arbitron, his ratings are still up. Strange world. Somebody ought to sell tickets. I'd buy one. As long as there's a story, I'll follow it. That's my job. Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Be sure to tune in next time when Mike Malloy takes to the airwaves in Testimony of Evil.
Tonight's episode, written by Bob Alexander and performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players, produced by Catherine Bay. All right, this would be a good segue into our email from Prairie 2, our economics correspondent. Subject line tonight, a chicken in every pot, but only if you raise them in the backyard. Prairie 2 writes, March economic numbers indicate that deflation is here, with the first year to drop in consumer prices since 1955. Some of this can be attributed to cheaper gas, but this has not inspired Americans to drive more, and they aren't spending the gas savings, with retail sales dropping sharply. Manufacturing output fell in the first quarter by 20%, with the factories that still remain in the U.S. now operating at 69% capacity. That is the worst number since the government started keeping track in the 60s. Increasingly, companies are making no secret of the fact that they have no plans to bring back the jobs they're eliminating in the United States. The Federal Reserve Beige Book Report tried valiantly to paint a rosy picture of things, but the best they could come up with was that home sales were up slightly in a few cities. Foreclosures are picking up dramatically with the end of the moratorium that some of the large mortgage companies had in place. Farm equipment manufacturers that were a bright spot in the economy are laying off large numbers of workers with the flattening out of farm prices. Exports of farm equipment are drying up as the major U.S. companies bring large factories online in Brazil. Brazil is putting millions of acres into production that will replace U.S. farm exports to China. A massive highway and bridge building project across Peru will allow Brazil to move a truckload of grain to Pacific ports every 17 seconds. The only thing that everybody agrees on is that things will get worse before they get better, but nobody is really talking about the things that must be done to make things better. I saw an ad for a prefab chicken coop that you can put in your backyard. It's disguised to look like a cluster of garbage cans so that the neighbors won't notice that you have something to eat. God, go to his website quick, prairie2numeral2.com. He sent a PS tonight, too, about the protesters, how the tax protesters just don't realize who they really are. Prairie 2 writes, the low-income tax protesters realize how much tax they pay, but they have been brainwashed into thinking that they are low-income because the rich are being overtaxed. If corporations didn't have to pay any taxes, their wages would be higher. The reality, of course, is that few corporations pay any taxes, and some even make a net gain from the public trough. They also believe that someday they might be rich, not grasping the reality that they have half the chance of upward mobility of somebody born in socialist Sweden. They also believe, the tax protesters do, that the rich would invest more if they didn't have to pay any taxes. The really rich only pay an average of 17% income tax and no FICA. These morons are paying more on every dollar than the super rich now. They should be protesting. They have every right to be angry. The protesters just don't have a clue who they really are. They think that they are the upper class that is being repressed by the liberals in government. If the liberals would just go away, then they would have the income they deserve. Yeah, well, you know, somebody once famously said, if you want to live like a Republican, vote Democratic. And for some reason, American consumers, as Bush used to call us, seem to have forgotten that. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. As we move on. About governments, ignorance, stupid-minded kids that can think for themselves every day. As I walk around, know the words to say with attitude and no direction. I waste my time thinking I'm the next one to make a difference, to make a change, to make some sense and to rearrange. Rearrange the way you think. Hesitate, lose control, and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. Don't let the world be your own hell, because it is so. It's so full of greed, because there is so. It's so. So much need for independence, solidarity, unity, and prosperity.
Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall. We did our best work in the dark.
10 before the hour.
We would hang together.
Irish Dave, who is writing in here about the Randy's email from Seoul, South Korea. Irish Dave writes, Mike, is that so perfect? Armed Forces Radio and Television carrying Fox News around the world. You got your corporate devils, your government, and your militarism all wrapped up in one globalized package. Wow. By the way, in the cultural backwater where I was raised up, the expression was, couldn't find his own ass with both hands and his wallet on fire. Okay. Linda in Ohio writes, Regarding the protests today, she writes, what the hell? No more federal spending in the southern states or in the Republican congressional districts everywhere. I've had enough of their idiocy. Those disaffected white men, fearful, dishonest, guilty, terrified, ignorant, desperately seeking enemies, somebody, anybody to blame for their misery. We are reaping the whirlwind of ignorance, the fruit of the damned fig tree, the sterility of illiteracy and inscrutable imbecility. We are harvesting the hurricane, howling with the rapture of incomprehension. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance, as the liberal bumper sticker counsels. This is the result, the extremely dire consequences of the right wing's 50-year war on education in America. You will find in every place that has Republican public officials a very low level of education and very few college-educated people per capita. The right wing's rabid anti-education crusade is because the natural and inevitable result of education is liberality. Opening one's mind to learning is the quintessential liberal act. The fascists always go for control of the mind through propaganda, media, education, communication, etc. Think Taliban, Nazi, Christians, etc. A quote from Abraham Lincoln. Quote, accustomed to trample on the rights of others, you have lost the genius of your own independence and become the fit subjects of the first cunning tyrant who rises among you. End quote. Oh, and Mina was, who wrote about the demonstration with her and her husband, Mike, I should have told you we are in Grand Island, Nebraska. Our peace group was invited by one of the organizers, and I think he's sorry now for the invitation. All right. What else we got here? Oh, this across the desk today. In an interview to be aired tomorrow, former Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage told Al Jazeera English that he, quote, did not know that torture was going on in the Bush administration. And in retrospect, he says if he knew about the mistreatment, he would have resigned. This was the question put to him by the interviewer. So when you knew that the administration of which you were a part was departing from the Geneva Conventions and sidelining them, why didn't you quit? Armitage. In hindsight, maybe I should have. But in those positions, you see how many more battles you have. You may fool yourself. You may say, how much worse would X, Y, or Z be if I weren't here trying to do it? So torture is a matter of principle as far as I'm concerned. I hope, had I known about it at the time I was serving, I hope I would have had the courage to resign. Now, Armitage previously had been waterboarded as part of his commando training, and he said in 2008 that he absolutely believes the practice is torture. At the time, he said regarding the debate over torture, I'm ashamed that we're even having this discussion. So is more than half the country there, Sparky. So he didn't know it was done? Wait a second. Isn't the excuse supposed to be I was only following orders? And a couple of comments on this at thinkprogress.org is where this showed up. One of the comments says, good for you, sir. You hear that, Obama? Our country needs the catharsis of trials. Another poster says, rats jumping ship. Another one says, wait, you mean one of these people actually has a conscience? Another comment. If I knew we were torturing, I'm pretty sure he knew. He's just trying to keep from being charged with war crimes. But, unfortunately, none of the war criminals are going to pay for their crimes. Another poster says, okay, you didn't resign. How about stepping up to the plate now? Otherwise, STFU, no one will feel sorry for you. What else we got here? He was Deputy Secretary of State. What did they do? Keep him in a broom closet? This guy is full of crap. Kind of reminds me of Robert McNamara apologizing after the fact. The only difference between the two is that Richie Boy didn't wait 35 years. It goes on and on and on and on. So Richard Armitage, and the reason he had that training, of course, is, as you know, or should know, Richard Armitage, back during Vietnam, was one of the people who worked in the assassination units who would go into villages in Vietnam and execute the people that they were supposed to execute. Kind of like, I was going to say kind of like Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now, but not really. Kurtz was a whole different thing. But Armitage used to do CIA wet work. He was not in the military. He worked for the CIA back during the various and sundry projects that the CIA launched against the people of Vietnam. And Richard Armitage was one of the people who did what they referred to as wet work. We'll be back, and we'll take your phone calls. The number here is 877-99-MALLOY. Jump in here and join us. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The Malloy Show. I just feel like, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I shouldn't say I don't know. I'd say, yeah, I just don't want to offend anybody. I try to be politically correct and not in the sense, sarcastic sense that the right wingers use when they coin that term. But I don't like to, the only people I ever want to dump on are right wingers because I think they are lower than, I don't know. They hate the country. They'll do anything to destroy the country. Plus they're sneaks, liars, and cowards. I've said that before. But, what I felt today, and again, no offense to mental health workers, what I felt today watching some of the television was similar to what I felt here in Atlanta back in, I guess it was around the late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, when the well-intentioned move to release people from mental institutions was put into play. Now, the second half of that was to be adequate halfway houses and group homes and counseling and medications and therapists to handle the masses of people that were being deinstitutionalized. And as a matter of fact, back then, I strongly supported that. And I still do. If the money were here, it would have worked. If the money had been available during the Reagan years, it would have worked out a lot more effectively than it did. But the reason I supported the deinstitutionalizing of people is because I spent some time touring. I had a good friend who was an MD, a psychiatrist, worked at a mental facility, Pennsylvania State Hospital in Harrisburg, PA. And I went through that place with him one day. And this was back in probably 68, 69, 70. And I will never forget that. It was... It was horrifying. Horrifying. There wasn't even not the least effort made to help people. Floor upon floor, row upon row of what were referred to at the time as the criminally insane, some of them chained to their beds. It was horrifying. So the idea of mental health being a goal for people who are institutionalized, and I think a lot of psychiatrists realized back then, a lot of psychologists, and people involved in human rights, that being incarcerated, which is what it amounted to in these places, these mental institutions at the time, was a guarantee that there would be not even a partial return to sanity or mental stability. If one were insane on a scale of 1 to 10, say a 3, when one entered one of those places, by the time patient had been there for a few months, that patient would be around a 7 or an 8. It was horrifying. So when the deinstitutionalizing idea came out, it was one I certainly supported, with the caveat that there be services and support out here in the so-called real world. Well, it wasn't there. And I can remember back in the day when I was a single father here in Atlanta. And Chris and I, we lived in Atlanta, and my son at the time was about 5 years old, 6 years old. And we used to ride around the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was a combination of residential and commercial. And there were several group homes in that neighborhood for the mentally impaired. And as long as they took the Thorazine or whatever they were taking at the time, the drugs were really, I mean, there was no, you know, Prozac or Elavil or anything like that. There might have been Elavil, but most of the drugs were just to numb a person out. And we would see people on the streets in that state, Chris and I. As a matter of fact, Chris made friends with a couple of them. One was a guy who used to stand on a street corner just screaming and raving at the traffic as it went by. But Chris, at the time, was 5 years old, just kind of made friends with this guy. And just wild-looking, crazy man. I don't know how else to put it, man. A crazy man, just absolutely insane. But as long as he was on the Thorazine, he wouldn't step off the street into the traffic, and he would have great conversations with Chris. They were conversations from fantasy land, but, you know, Chris was 5 years old, and he liked him. Marty was the guy's name. And then there was a woman a couple blocks further on who used to carry a plastic purse and constantly beating herself with the purse, hitting herself on the stomach, the knees, the back, and just, you know, having screaming matches with the demons that were obviously around her. And she also was Thorazined up enough to, you know, limit her self-abuse to beating herself with a purse. And I think Chris tried to make friends with her, and she didn't want any part of it. Me, I was just along for the ride, just trying to teach my kid how to ride a bicycle. I didn't know exactly how to deal with people on Thorazine. So, that's the backstory. Moving it ahead 30 years to today, and I swear that the sense I had today from watching the electric television set with the news coverage, not even news coverage, with the video coverage of these events, I saw people who reminded me of all those people who were turned out of asylums and institutions 30 years ago and dosed up with Thorazine and what else was there, Kathy? There was Melaril. What else? There were several. I mean, they were just really stinky, horrible drugs. Oh, my God. Just awful. Awful drugs. But I got the sense from watching today that, and this is what I blogged about, and I didn't know how quite to do it, but I'm sorry. You know, a part of writing, all of those of you who write, you understand that if you don't write honestly and from the gut, then, you know, what the hell's the point in trying to get your thoughts down on paper, right? So to speak, on paper. You know, there's no paper involved in any of the writing most of us do. But But there it was today, that freakish sense of deja vu that, oh, my God. Now, most of the people released way back then, 30 years ago, are either dead or have gone away or were rescued by their family members once they were found or have just disappeared into, you know, that sludge that is the human race. They're just gone. The neighborhoods I'm talking about that Chris and I used to ride our bikes through all those years ago have been completely gentrified, which means that the crazy people and the hippies and the drug pushers and the dope fiends and the bunco artists and the homeless were all moved out, and to make way for the condos and the apartments that were immediately filled up, because after all, this is Atlanta. And Atlanta is this megalopolis in the South of 5 million people. And by God, in the in-town neighborhoods, we will have our luxury apartments. Mentally ill, be damned. So those old neighborhoods now are swept clean. Very nice neighborhoods. Very sterile. Very neat. No screaming like in the old days. No people running down the streets beating themselves with purses or standing on a street corner raving at the traffic. But today, watching television, I just got a sense of this is the way it was when they opened the doors to the asylums. All these people came tumbling out with absolutely no clue as to what reality really is.
Seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sand?
It is 21 past the hour. phone calls. Dave is calling from Huntington Beach in California. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
I really appreciate you and your show.
Thank you.
I'm the biggest fan of anyone in the whole world here. But I live in the probably the epicenter of the mortgage meltdown here with the subprime industry. And I'm originally from New England, and I was just shocked at the way Oily George and Tricky Dick II and O'Reilly have steered New England.
Mm-hmm.
And their constant negative campaign is probably hurting us financially. But that's the main issue I wanted to tell you about is out here, rent is a much bigger issue than taxes. Under Oily George, rent tripled.
Really?
Apartment, yeah, I mean, it's much different. And now houses have fallen down to the 2002 level. So a working guy, like I know people who are paying $3,000 a month for a house that before Oily George got sold the 2000 election, it was $1,200.
Good Lord.
These idiots are protesting taxes, but this high rent is really what's destroying this region.
And yet nobody protests that.
And I'm amazed. I wanted to see if you would maybe speak a bit about that. I don't know if it's the same in Atlanta. I don't think it is, but it's been a rich Republicans whose houses are probably paid for are just gouging the working men.
Yeah, we did have the same and do have the same situation here, Dave. When Kathy and I moved to Chicago back in 1997, we were to work for ABC, and I came back 4 years later. The two of us came back 4 years later, and we wanted to move into to Atlanta and couldn't. It was just too expensive. We damn sure couldn't afford to buy a house back then, and couldn't afford the rent. So I guess it worked out okay because we didn't move into Atlanta. We moved out here into the sort of in the country. But that's about all we could afford. And you know, we have friends still who rode that out, that weird period when house prices and rent skyrocketed here in Atlanta. And yeah, you never hear anybody protesting. And what you do hear are people who were forced out of where they lived. If they were renting, they had to go because the people who owned the houses, decided that, you know, they could jack the rents up 2 and 3 times and get rid of the people that lived there and, you know, put a few thousand dollars in for cosmetic repairs and get a lot more money out of it. So yeah. It's happened here too. Dave, I gotta move. Thanks. I appreciate it, pal. Yeah, we were shocked when we came back. Remember that? Couldn't, we stayed at a friend's bed and breakfast, here in Atlanta, in Midtown Atlanta, stayed there for a month trying to find a place, you know, living in a room for a month and damn glad to have it. Oh yeah. Chuck is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Brian. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
All right. Listen, you're a lucky man. I'm here to tell you, anybody who's married to Gabby's voice is a lucky man. She melts me, man.
she's just sitting here grinning, so.
First of all, I just want to bring up one quick point. You know what teabagging is? Because I've been hearing that this is some kind of slang for something all day long.
Yeah, well, it's in the urban. Go to urbandictionary.com, and it's there. I can't say it on the radio, but it's there.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Okay, I want to get to this little theory of mine. I think we're all not being able to see the forest for the trees. I really do. I think if you step back and think about this from a common sense kind of standpoint, it all tends to make sense. Let's say you're a big businessman, I mean, ultra rich.
Uh-huh.
It's about 1985. Mao's died. You got this big country that's about 1,000 years behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It represents about half the population of the earth, or almost.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are in the dark ages. That's a hell of a potential market.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the Chinese, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the Indians, for that matter.
Right.
Now, Tiananmen Square comes along, and you realize, this country's going to have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to have to happen to these people. Well, I think we ought to start thinking about putting a little money in China.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's think about this now. America's got 300 million people, but China's got 1.3 billion people.
Right.
About 4.5 times the market.
Mm-hmm.
They'll work for about 25 cents an hour. The average American works for about $35 an hour. There's a hell of a lot of money to be made there. I think what I'll do is I'll get together with my other buddies, and I think what we'll do is commit war on the American people.
Hey, hold on just a second, Chuck. Let me put you on hold because I got to do a break. Now pick it up right there when we come back now. Don't forget where you are in the story here. Pick it up right there. We'll be right back. Stay with us, Truth Seekers.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Blue,
25 before the hour. We're talking with Chuck in Knoxville. All right, now, where were we in the story, Chuck?
Let me just back up real quick.
Okay.
We decided that China's the market to go to because it's about five times as many people and they'll work for about 1/1000th of what an American worker will work for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mao's gone. So you're going to put a few little businesses in there to get a feel for how things are going to interact with the government. Once you decided that it's going to work, then you get together with your other multinational buddies and you say, okay, well, we got this vast untapped market. What's the way to do this? Well, if you're going to beat out your competitors, you're going to go in first, you're going to go in fast, and you're going to go in with as much money as you can get your hands on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you do that? Everybody commit war on the American people. Steal as much as you can by causing as much confusion as you can. And make sure you've got a ringleader in the top. So what do? You use that time-honored, tested method used by the military, divide and conquer. So you get somebody like Rush Limbaugh and these other assholes. You put them on the radio. You pay them $100 million a year. And you teach them to brainwash the American people, at least those that can be susceptible to brainwashing and don't have really a mind of their own. Because you don't have to brainwash all of them. All you got to do is brainwash about a third of them, maybe half of them. All you want to do is stir things up.
Right.
Now, if you do a really good job at it, eventually you'll have the American people fighting each other and tearing their country apart. And while they're tearing their country apart, you're literally robbing it blind and
right.
sending it all to China.
Right.
Because China is the future, not America. From a business point of view and the almighty dollar, China is the future. It can't help but be that way.
Well,
America and Europe and the rest of the world gets wise and works together. But first of all, you got to get the Republican Party, meaning to say the laborers in this country, to realize what's going on. Now, how do you do that?
Chuck?
The ultimate question.
Well, it
how
is.
How do you do that?
Right. That is the ultimate question. And, Chuck, I've got to leave it there, pal. I've got some people holding on here, and I want to try to get as many people as I can. Now, what you're saying makes perfect sense. You get no argument from me. I hear you loud and clear. And it's not, I mean, a lot of people, in the field of economics or global trade, our correspondent, Prairie Two, who's our, economics correspondent, has pointed this out several times. It is the Chinese century. It would be good for, Americans to learn to speak at least one of the Chinese dialects so that we could communicate with our overlords when they come here to, collect. You're absolutely right. Perez is calling from Santa Rosa, California, listening on Green 960. Hey, Perez, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm actually listening on the internet because I have listened to you taped on Green 960.
Oh.
That's where I originally was listening to you, a while back. So I haven't called you in a long time, but it sure is good to hear you.
Well, thank you.
And I cannot, Chuck stole a lot of my thunder, especially in relation to your lovely lady. And so at the risk of a bad pun, I wouldn't want to one-up Chuck.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
But anyway, you have lately, in the last couple of months, you have been so focused and really deadly serious, while really making me laugh my ass off at the same time. You've done such a remarkable job. I mean, things are kind of a little bit looser and a little more casual because we were doing pain control and management under Bush. I called you the first time a couple of years ago.
Right, right.
Anyway, we talk about rolling one up and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, I would say that one thing I remember about this is what I originally called about, but just a quick comment on what Chuck was saying about China. Immediately after, very soon after Tiananmen Square, Brent Scowcroft was over there toasting the Chinese leadership. The deals were already had been made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Which was the CIA, also the ambassador. It was, this stuff was all planned out, and Chuck's exactly right.
Well, don't forget also that George W. Bush's uncle, who was Herbert Walker Bush's brother, became the head of the president, chairman, whatever, of the American Chinese or the Chinese American Chamber of Commerce in Beijing back in, back in the mid-80s. Long before, it was before Tiananmen Square, it was long before the Chinese were given the gift of all these American factories that gutted our industrial base. Now, remember, the whole idea of NAFTA and global trade, NAFTA, of course, has nothing to do with China, but not directly, but...
I call it SAFTA.
That too. But eventually it had to do with China. The General Agreement on Trade and Tariff, the GATT Agreement, all of these agreements that started in the Bush years and were firmed up in the Clinton years and then absolutely turned loose in Bush 2 years. And here we are with a hollowed out industrial base. The Bush family has been involved in this since the very beginning. Same Bush family that helped the Third Reich get their hands on Zyklon B gas and the materials to build death camps.
And Rumsfeld also carried on that particular chemical tradition with Saddam.
With Saddam Hussein.
But also Prescott was censured for trading with the enemy. Then, I thought it was before, he got his Senate seat before that, but he got in the Senate after he was censured. It's just almost too...
You
start thinking, wow, maybe there's something else going on here that we don't know about.
You're right. It is craziness. It is insane. And the thing that drives me mad, and thanks, Perez, I got to move on here. The thing that drives me right to the brink is the fact that, you know, the Bush crime family has been operating in this country for an awfully long time. In modern history, they've certainly been operating since the late 20s, early 30s. They were early supporters of Hitler along with the DuPont family, along with the Henry Ford family, along with the Charles Lindbergh family. And yet both the father and son had been president. One was elected. The other was not. And there's no telling about Herbert Walker Bush. I guess he was elected, but the other little rat son of a bitch stole two elections. And I look at all these tax protesters today and I think, are you completely mad? That's why I could only come up with that memory of so many, mentally impaired people wandering the streets of Atlanta 30 years ago. That's what all those tea parties, tea baggers look like. It's like, do you not have a clue as to why this is happening and that's happening? Do you not have a clue as to what Obama's trying to do? Like him or don't like him? Get in his case about the surveillance and court orders or don't? But what Obama is trying to do is to save capitalism, which does not make Obama a fascist. The Bush family are the fascists. Obama is just trying to respond, I think, I don't know, I could be wrong, to Molly Ivan said, you got to dance with the one who brung you, who brung Obama, to the forefront. Working class people, the rich, the banking industry, one of the largest recipients of AIG money, I think it was AIG money, was Barack Obama. So he's trying to save capitalism. And these poor schmucks out on the street today who call him a socialist or you know, go back to Kenya or whatever this nonsense is, it's maddening. Just maddening, because I think to myself, my God, I live in a country where people get out there with this kind of mindset, these kinds of signs, and I'm assuming they actually believe this because corporate media in this country, on the one hand, has made them excruciatingly stupid. That would be everything but Fox. And then Fox steps in and makes them excruciatingly manipulable. And I sit here and think, oh my God, you know, that's certainly not a majority of Americans that I'm seeing on television. It isn't even close. But it's enough to completely, if nothing else, make me crazy. You know? Oh well, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
About 9 minutes before the hour. Thanks to the crew. Kathy Bay, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. Mike Malloy Gumshoe was written by Bob Alexander and presented by the mighty Malloy Radio Players. As the mighty Malloy Radio Players get more into doing radio theater again, it's been a long time. I've been informed by the producer and the writer that the scripts will become more interesting and the plays themselves will become little vignettes that you will tell your great-grandchildren about. So we'll present another one, probably the first of next week. Don't forget, please go to MikeMalloy.com. And become a subscriber to the podcasts and anything else that we put in that section of the program, of the website. The streaming, the Sirius, the XM, other than whatever they charge for their you know, for subscribers. But over-the-air broadcasting, web streaming, it'll always be available to you. The podcast at no cost. The podcasting. And advertising, of course, is how we keep the show going. So for 25 cents a program, it's not a bad deal. Subscribe, and then you can tell your friends, yeah, I support that 2-bit Malloy. 25 cents a show is what it costs. We really, really, really need you to become a subscriber. Really do. This is no kidding, all right? You know at this point, you should know, we're in this completely on our own. There is nobody except the names that I read each night and Kathy and me in our little broadcast studio with the satellite uplink here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. So, no charity, no fundraisers, no, you know, like National Public Radio. All we ask you to do is to subscribe to the podcasts and that'll cost you 25 cents a program. And for people who don't necessarily, you know, you don't carry an iPod with you or whatever. Of course, that's kind of secondary to what the podcasts are. But, you know, if you don't want to do that, the 25 cents a show fee will get you into all sorts of other trouble. So do it, okay?
Including a brand new Malloy Reads His Hate Mail with all the naughty words included.
That's up.
Which is up right now.
Yeah, Ben Birch said he got it up today, the one that we did the other day right after the tornadoes came through. So check it out. All right? And again, we are not funded the way Limbaugh or Hannity or any of these people are. We simply are not. So putting it as bluntly as I can, the survival of the program depends on those podcast subscriptions right now. Eventually, you folks keep us on the air long enough and eventually the advertising dollars will kick in. But so do it. 25 cents a program. Okay? All right? Is that a hard sell? Good. That's what it's supposed to be, a hard sell. What else we got? What happened to the people on hold? Oh, okay. We had a couple of callers, but I guess they didn't want to hear my pitch. Irish Dave, tea bags from China? I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, although it's, you know, it's not just China that grows tea, right? Do we grow tea in not in the United States? I guess, do we? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But anyway, I'm just astonished at what happened today. I started the program tonight by saying that to see what I saw today. Michael writes, no, I don't think the people at today's events are insane in any clinical sense of the word. They've been battered for 40 years or more by very sophisticated propaganda lies and disinformation, all intended to enlist them in the causes of the very wealthy by pandering to their sense of patriotism and their understandable fear of authoritarian central government, which, confoundingly, the wealthy right-wingers espouse in order to protect their own wealth from the rabble. It's easy to turn these people's distress into hatred because they spent a lifetime being fed BS. How are they to determine the truth of their situation after a lifetime of lies? I read one very good example of the above earlier today via Eschaton. Quote, she said, I guess this is a woman named Wilder. Quote, she said she retired on disability from M&T Bank 3 years ago after undergoing knee replacement and back surgeries. She lives under Social Security and disability benefits. Last year, she petitioned the bankruptcy court for protection from creditors. She said she did not have to pay federal income taxes last year because her income was too low. She said, quote, I don't want to see this country turn into a welfare nanny state where we stand in line for groceries and we're in welfare lines and in socialized medicine lines. That just makes me sad beyond belief. Michael closes. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.